All right, we're back on the Weird But Harmless podcast. I'm Tim. He's Ferris.
What's up?
And it's just me and him today, and we've already agreed. No talking about open relationships, cuckolding, and any other weird sexual activities.
Well, it wasn't that. Everyone, and I had not just, I had more than one people tell me, and even me and Drew talked about it at the end of it. It was just too much. Like, we beat a dead horse. That's what happened. The subject was funny, but we on and on. It was 40 minutes of just like $1,000, $100,000, $1 million. Well, what about a gazillion dollars?
Well, y'all took a simple concept of I'd be okay with this and Drew wouldn't, and you wouldn't either, but it was mainly me and Drew versus each other in this little thing, and you were like trying to change the variables and see where I drew the line versus where he drew.
That's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to see where the line was drawn, and we pretty much figured out, depending on the money variables, it fluctuated, and also depend on how many people. But that's what we came to.
Yeah, I don't know.
But everyone who listened last week, thank you for listening, letting us know. We try to fix things. But, you know, like we said, one thing we started before we did the thing, last week we didn't do what we normally do, which is important, is write stuff down. So we have a list of things to talk about. So when we get done with a subject, you start with a subject, and then you riff, and then you, by the time, you know, you maybe talk about, like, I don't know, politics, you end up on post-it notes, you know, you end up on something just weird, and then you can go back to it. But at the same time, having something that's so strict, and, you know, we're talking about having like a time, like I felt like we just needed to go back to what got us to the ball game, got us to the championship, whatever,
right,
you
right,
say.
Right.
Whatever the fucking wording is. Mm. Anyways,
I think we just realized I'm a little bit, I guess, more open about things. And hey, what's this experience like?
Well, just know there's people who are much open to much worse things. Anyways, what's first on the list?
I put sports. If you want to talk about it, great. If not, oh well.
Just sports? Like,
I don't know, man. I kind of just was like,
you know, I probably will never not watch the Saints. I probably will always. But my consumption, and it pretty much started by the time I was 21. By the time I was 21, I started to stop watching. Like, I would watch baseball. Like I would watch like the end of it, like the ends of like games and stuff like that. I wasn't like keeping up with it. But I watched this sport and that sport, and I try to watch, like, you know, the Ocho sports, like, God. I'd watch a lot of Pardon the Interruption and all these.
So basically you did the same thing I did, which was you overdid it, and by the time, like, you kind of stopped, you were just burnt out, and I was like, I don't fucking care.
Well, I'd listen to that, and then I'd listen to sports radio. And some of it I thought it was like, oh, you're supposed to listen to it. Yeah. So I got to where I was just listening to that, watching those sports shows, watching all the games.
You start the timer, by the way?
Oh, no, I didn't. I have an idea.
Okay.
Let's start stopwatch. Okay, so whoops. It's 100 beats. However, 100 bars. So there's four bars. The four beats to a bar. Whatever the fuck that means.
I mean, I kind of know, but it's like one.
Anyways, back to it. So I started, you know, just like, okay, why am I watching this game? Why is it on ESPN? You know, I tell you, really, like when I started working for ULM, and they had ESPN on all fucking day. And you know, thing about like ESPN back then, it had a little less like shows. Like, you know, they had their slot of TV shows, but a lot of times it was just SportsCenter over and over and over and over again. And I can only watch somebody throwing a goddamn baseball and getting someone out at home plate so many times, and you talk about it so many different ways. Like,
baseball is that prime sport, though, if like you didn't grow up playing it. Like, you just never find anybody who discovered baseball as an adult and became a fan. Like,
intricate. It's too much to it.
It's also very slow.
It's slow, slower. Like, you have to appreciate the nuances of the game to really, like. Whereas football, you're like, oh, just throw the ball, kick people, blah. You know, it's pretty. Even though it's intricate, it is an intricate sport, yeah. But Yeah, baseball, you know, so the people who like baseball, a lot of times they'll like stuff like golf. And, like, you know, if you don't like golf, you're never probably going to like golf. But if you love golf, you probably just want it. You just can't help but just get into it. You just want to consume it. That's one thing. Now, sports-wise, that's one thing I never did watch was golf. I always hated golf. I always hated watching golf. I always hated playing golf. I always hated anything to do with golf.
It's, you know, I can respect the talent of it, but it's just like, man, that's not interesting at all to me. Not to me. Not.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I used to like watching the X Games and skateboarding and rollerblades, so I could see where, the, you know, shit like that's not that interesting to people.
I would watch some of it, but I would get tired of it real quick.
Now, I think a lot of our whatever with a lot of things is you look at where, you know, now it's changed now for kids, but when we were coming up, you didn't really have the most options.
No.
It was football, baseball, if you were lucky, soccer, and basketball.
Right.
You know, because soccer wasn't that big of a deal when we were coming up. You knew how to play it, but you grew up in a different circumstance than I did.
Right. And yeah, and I would watch the World Cup, and I'd watch a lot of soccer. But I mean, as I went along, it's like, okay, I don't want to watch SportsCenter anymore. And then I would watch. Part of the interruption, and then what was that one that had the one where like you got
around
points
the horn.
Around the horn, which I actually think that was a better show than PTI.
Yeah, I think it just because it had varying opinions.
But the longer I watched it, the more like why do I give a fuck what they have to say? They're sports writers and they really like it. Okay, I don't care.
Do you ever listen to Pat McAfee?
No,
on YouTube, he's kind of. I think you'd like him because it's a three-hour sports show. Sometimes they 4 hours, but basically it's a lot more lighthearted. It's not as serious. And even, they'll get on some weird Corona kick or something for like a second, and they'll be like, we are not the people you should be listening to. You know, they own up to it. Hey, we're fucking dumbasses. You shouldn't be listening to us. You should check it out tomorrow. I'll send you a link. It's pretty entertaining. You know, they talk about, you know, whatever. They just try to have fun.
You know, without going on a tangent, and I understand it from their perspective, it's not a political show. It's not a medical show. But I'm so tired of, like, people saying, oh, if you're not an expert, you can't speak. No, you can talk about whatever the fuck you want to talk about. The way I see it, Raymond fucking Gates fucking bombed a shit ton of Japanese soldiers in his fucking bomber to let me say whatever the fuck I want to say, when I want to say it, and how I want to say it. I'm not fucking asking permission or coddling to people because they don't want to hear my opinion.
I'll give
my goddamn opinion. And you know, I'll give a goddamn ignorant opinion on it too. Fuck you.
Here's the thing. You know when people really say that is when your opinion doesn't agree with theirs. Because exactly. They have the same qualifications as you. But, you know, I don't want to talk about Corona at all, but we're going to get
enough Corona.
Yeah. You know, when you talk about vaccinations, you know.
I will say this. I got my second shot and I'm not wearing a mask anywhere else. Fuck that. I'm done. I'm done wearing a mask.
Some of our friends were talking about they've been asked to put on masks. I'm like, I have yet to go anywhere that really gave a fuck.
I went to Walmart today.
Nobody.
They don't give a fuck.
The motherfuckers ain't paid enough to give a shit.
No. I'm just like, I'm done. I got the vaccine. I'm not taking a fucking booster. Y'all keep moving the goalposts. I'm fucking done.
Yeah. I did what I was kind of supposed to do. Now, granted, I did it just so I could go to a concert, and that concert got canceled.
But if McAfee wants to talk about whatever, but I get it. Like, you go there for sports, so you want to listen to sports. I can get that part. But people telling you can't talk, yes, you can. You can talk whatever the fuck you want to talk about. Whenever you want to talk about, however. I don't give a shit. And the most important thing is you don't bow to people. When they say, you should really think, no, I think I should say what and do whatever I want. And you should mind your own fucking business. That's how, the person who's really good at that is Basil, actually. He don't give a fuck. He will do and say what he wants.
Right.
It doesn't mean that he's going to just be an asshole just to be an asshole. But if you want to say what you want to say, just say it and just do it. You know? I mean, I'm not saying there aren't consequences to what you say and what you do. But, you know, if the consequences is just somebody telling you, oh, well, you shouldn't do that. Did I break a law? Did I do anything? Was there some libel involved? No. Okay, then. Well, I'm going to continue saying
so,
it.
So, I was actually watching The Hill the other day. And I like The Hill.
What's that?
The news channel, The Hill.
Okay, I guess I didn't.
I'm
kind of the same way. I almost had the exact same story with political shows as I did sports shows.
Right. I don't catch a lot of them.
I was a Bill O'Reilly fan, man, back in the day.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I watched Fox News and MSNBC. You know, I started with MSNBC. And then I slowly realized two things. One, they're dumber. And two, they didn't have the hot chicks. So, yeah, that was a catalyst for that. And I was around 12, 13 at the time. You know, seeing where I'm going with this.
So, you never really listened to the news.
I watched the news.
But anyway, so I was listening to The Hill, and they were talking about, you know, CNN tried to say Joe Rogan took horse drink. And then somebody on The Hill was basically showing what all it would take for, you know, Joe Rogan had joked about suing him. And basically, like, since Joe Rogan's technically a public figure, he would have to prove damages to his character. I was like, how about just they didn't fucking tell the truth? Like, is that where we're at right now?
They're lying fucks what they are.
Yeah.
Everyone talks about, like, Alex Jones, and he doesn't say things that are the truth. I mean, the mainstream media does the same goddamn thing he does, just not as outlandish, but they do the same fucking thing. They say stupid-ass shit that is not true. Sorry, they do. Fox News, and here's the thing. He is entertainment when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
So are they. Fox News, MSNBC, all those, the big four, whatever the fuck, CBS, all those. They're entertainment. They're not news. CNN used to be the news. CNN used to be like, 24 hours, just news. And I remember when it was like that. And it wasn't really, but they started getting demolished by Fox News because Fox News had the hot chicks and they had the loud, obnoxious assholes. And that's the squeaky wheel gets the grease, you know? And they were like, well, we got to get our own guys, but they're going to be liberals. And sorry, but the liberals aren't they're not as fun. Tucker Carlson is more fun than...
I want to punch him in the face.
Say what you will about him, he's more entertaining. He is more entertaining than those other people on MSNBC. Don Lemon, come on, they're not... Even if you hate Tucker Carlson, he's more entertaining. He just is.
That's fair.
And he interviews hot chicks. I mean, just... Fox News knows what they're a better form of entertainment, but that's what they are. They're entertainment. They're nothing more.
Yeah. I would recommend you check out The Hill, though. They're kind of...
I think I've heard it before.
Yeah, they had the two co-hosts on Joe Rogan, but I don't think those two are there anymore. I think they've since moved on, but they kind of have, you know, here's one person. I'd say, you know, they have their people with their preferences, but they're pretty balanced.
Is that the one where one of them's like a guy and one's a chick and one's like kind of
weird? It was, yeah.
Let me say this. Joe Rogan says that they're kind of, one's a conservative, one's liberal. No, they're both pretty liberal. That guy who's conservative, he is not conservative.
Well, you also got to remember, we've grown up in a place that's like, God damn.
He's not North Louisiana conservative. No.
I mean, you got to think too.
He's a sweet and low liberal. I mean, a sweet and low conservative.
Yeah. But you got to remember. So, like, as liberal as San Francisco is, we are the exact opposite in the conservative realm.
Yep, we sure are.
You know, we just are. And
I tell people all the time that if Louisiana or if this area could use a little more liberal values, it's probably true. But San Francisco could probably use a little more conservative, like traditional values a little bit. You know, like not shitting on the ground and
letting people clear out your fucking convenience store.
Steal all your shit for $800. Right. The guy just rode his bike and just filled the bag up and walked out.
I wish I could talk to those politicians out there and be like, man, what the fuck are you thinking? Like, I mean, no cameras, no nothing. Just like, what are you thinking?
I mean, they're creating chaos.
I mean, do you think it's just we're trying to look as progressive liberal as possible?
No, Tim, no. I mean, that's the facade. The truth is that they want people to be fearful and you need the government to protect you. That's what it comes down to. You need the government to protect you. That's what it comes down to. They want to make people scared. Do you think that if someone broke into the nice neighborhood where all the tech-rich people would live, that they wouldn't send the fucking Navy and Air Force in a heartbeat?
Well, they've already proven they would. I mean, you look at the Rodney King riots, even though that was the early 90s, what happened when, you know, black folks were burning down their own neighborhood? Not a fucking thing. Getting a little close to the white neighborhood, all of a sudden the National Guard got called out.
Well, Also, when they got close to the Asian, well, the Asians like were like, no. The Korean areas were like, you're not going to fuck with us. We'll fucking kill you. Yeah. The rooftop Asians.
Imagine that. We
rooftop
now,
Koreans, whatever.
We now live in a time where if you want to defend your own property, you're considered a bad person. Oh, well, the insurance will pay for it. You know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe.
But probably not.
Probably not. And that doesn't still give you a right to fuck with my shit.
It's like, do you have any idea how hard it is to deal with, like, insurance and stuff? And the same people who said that, they did not say the same thing whenever those people broke into the Capitol building.
Oh, no.
They didn't say that. Anyway, okay, I'm going to say something a little controversial. I think the Capitol thing was a little overrated of what happened. They were back within 2 hours to do the vote, and they did vote no problem. And then they showed, like, okay, they showed some people being assholes, and that one lady got shot in the fucking face. She got gunned down, but they didn't do anything. They just like, oh, God, you're dead. And, like, and then you had a few people go in and steal some stuff. Like, that dude walked out with a podium. He's my hero, like, just because he didn't give a shit. Because you know you're going to get caught. And the guy, like, even then, they didn't hurt anybody. They didn't hurt anybody. All the people they said that died, like, died of a heart attack, like, 2 days later. There was a lot of bullshit that they talked about. And then they showed most people were, like, walking within the lines, and, like, there was an old lady, like, holding up a flag. Like, this is a terrorist? She's not a terrorist, man. Come on.
They got... You know what it was? They got close.
Yeah.
You know, because, you really think about it. Who got arrested during all those riots for George Floyd? How many people did you hear about? Not fuck all. Because
well, people did get arrested, but here's the key. Many politicians got them out. They got them out. Look, you have an absolute right to protest what you feel is an issue with the government. You can go out and be like, fuck you, fuck the police department, fuck the police. That's fine. You know, and in a way I support, I think you should be able to, if you piss off the police department, I think you should be able to say, fuck you, the police. But what does going in and stealing lamps from Target have to do with anything? And they weren't, and a lot of them were just a bunch of white kids, white folks going in there. How is that honoring the memory of George Floyd by stealing a lamp from Target?
You know what's funny is, though, if you actually watch some of those videos with the white kids destroying shit, you know who got really pissed about them destroying shit? Black people.
Yeah, because it made, I mean, there were some, everyone was doing some shit they probably shouldn't have. Yeah. You know what's funny is that there was one close to Indianapolis where they burned down like a police place.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I agree with it, but I can at least understand why. Okay, that's the person you view as, I'm just putting words in their mouth, oppressing you. These are the people that are giving you a hard time. You know, the cops do this, they do that, blah, 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 blah. And you're focusing your anger at them. I can get that. I understand what people mean, like why they would do that. But when they go to a Target or they go to a gas station or they go to a Wendy's and fucking burn it down, I don't, like, why? And I guarantee you, most people who own those are probably black. And you're just, and they've probably worked their ass off to be able to open those businesses, and you just fucking just set it on fire, and then told me, yeah, whatever, insurance cover it. I guarantee you, there are still people right now filing claims and probably haven't had shit done. People who say that need to be punched in the throat. When you say, oh, they have insurance, I want to punch you in the fucking throat, because you just, you don't have a business. You never dealt with insurance before.
Probably never had any real responsibility, because, I mean, you really think about who says that. It's usually upper middle class white kids who,
yeah,
go, you know, yeah, they're cool with the Wendy's in their, and not their neighborhood getting burned down, because you know what's going to happen when the whole thing's over? They're going to go back to their nice upper middle class homes that, you know, a lot of the people they say they're for probably can't afford, with their nice $1,000 phones and $1,000 clothes. It's like, you know, you talking about earlier about why do the white kids do it? Just to feel a part of something. Because one thing, I can say this because I'm 100% white. We don't have any culture. Our culture has been, you know, yeah, you got, you know, we try to make something up. We don't have any culture, man. We really
It's the predominant culture, though.
Huh?
It's the predominant culture.
It is, but that don't mean, like, you know, I mean,
I think the poorer you get in white communities, the more culture they have. I really do. But I will say this,
I mean, I know my family history. You know, my dad's side of the family came over here as a Irish what's the word? Basically, they weren't slaves, but they
indentured servants.
Pretty much. They owed a shit ton of money, so they got sent over here to. That's one side, and the other side came over from Germany when shit started getting a little weird.
when
I say a little weird, probably right before World War One, kind of. Okay. You know, because my mom's name is Wynell. It's very uncommon in the States, but the way it's actually like Vinyl or something like that, very German. I can't say it.
But Vinyl.
Something like that, yeah. But my, I don't think it was my granddad, but his dad changed it from like. Whatever it was, he added like an extra L and another vowel or something to make it look more American.
Little more American. I'm trying to think. My grandmother, and this is, I'm going off a few things. My grandmother is Walker. That is straight up Scottish.
Yeah.
That is a straight up Scot. There may be some Irish in there, but it's mostly Scot. My grandfather, for the longest time, they thought they were the Gates, they thought they were German. But they were actually English. And they actually did the ancestry for Gates, or from my grandfather's side. And there was a knight in the 1330s in England. Is the furthest ancestor they could find from my grandfather's side.
I mean, that's still pretty far back, though.
Yeah.
I mean, at what point, I mean, I guess it's just how far back do you really go? Do you, I mean, let's go in a biblical sense. Do you go back to Adam and Eve? Do you go back to hey, this monkey swung from this tree in this shitty part of Africa? I mean,
I was not my ancestors. God created my ancestors. There was no evolution in my life.
Anyways, my.
You ever notice though? You ever notice no one disagrees with evolution that dogs came from wolves. No one disagrees with that. But somehow we didn't come from apes. And I think it's just because the only way they can rationalize this is a straight, you know, always hear, well, why are there still apes? Same reason, you know, we know dogs came from wolves, but they're still wolves. It's not a straight line. Not everything evolves. It's more like a spider web. Shit goes.
Just look at a video of, like, people rioting and then chimpanzees, like, fighting. It's not much different.
You're right about that shit.
So my grandmother on my dad's side, she is, what he tells me, is Palestinian.
Okay.
Originally, she was originally Palestinian, but my grandfather,
his dad
came, or they're ethnic Arabs, Syrians.
Okay,
but they're not from Syria.
I need you to explain that a little bit.
They're ethnic Arab Syrians. They have a Syrian accent, everything. They're a Syrian people, but they're from Turkey originally, a place called Kilis. Kilis is right on the border of Syria. Now, here's where it gets a little squirrely. In 1922, well, a little bit, you know, let me go back a little bit. It's actually a little bit. 1918 was the end of World War One. At that point, the Ottoman Empire was around. There was no Syria. Syria didn't exist. There was no country called Syria. Now, it was an area that the people considered themselves like this type of people, Syrian people, right? Ethnically and, like, linguistically, how they spoke and all that stuff. So, they were on the border. When they made the border, they just made a border and they just cut through the area. You have Kilis, which is in northern or southern Turkey, and then you have Aleppo, which is called Halab in Arabic, at the border. They're right next to each other. And my grandfather left there when he was a little kid and went to Syria.
So basically, it's a situation that had the line been drawn 20 feet in a certain direction. Your grandfather would be
born in Syria.
Okay.
Yes. So, and his parents spoke Turkish. But
your dad's or your grandparents?
My grandparents, his dad, my great-grandparent.
Okay.
They spoke Turkish and Arabic. And they came to Syria, and there's no need to speak Turkish anymore.
So, you're studying Turkish right now, right?
Yes.
How much of a difference is there between Turkish and regular Arab?
It's like the difference between English and Chinese.
Really?
It is very different.
So, that small of a geographical...
It's huge. You just... Because Turkish is originally from like the Mongolian, the steppes, like the Asian steppes. The Turks weren't originally from Turkey, like where Anatolia, where that area is. They're from closer to like where, like Kazakhstan, that area right there. That's why a lot of like Turkmenistan, they speak a language that's very close to Turkish. And deep down the line, it's related to Mongolian. They call it Mongolic. And then Mongolic... It's like Turkic. They call it Turkic languages that they kind of are related to a lot of the A lot of the steppe languages, they call the steppes like the wood, the grasslands and stuff, you know, where the like Mongols and like horse people were. But
so
they moved from Central Asia to Anatolia, which is where Turkey is now.
I'm Googling a world map, forgive me.
Okay. So they moved, they went there and they went to where Anatolia is in the like the 1100s, the 1200s. And then in 1299, they created the Ottoman Empire.
So I'm Googling a world map right now and kind of, because, I mean, I know where Turkey is. Okay. I'm guessing Syria is where it says S-Y-R and
yes.
Dot. Damn, that's not that far at all. For some weird reason, I thought Syria was closer to Egypt. Man, I don't know fuck all about geography, but, okay. No wonder that place is always at war. So, obviously the language, okay. So, I was going to compare it to America and Mexico, but you really can't because of the Caucasian conquest. But let's call it what it is. So, I mean, obviously the language is different. How different are the people? I mean, you look at Turkey, you look at Syria, you look at Iraq. I mean, where does that?
It's,
I guess Jordan, Lebanon, no, hold up. Cyprus, excuse me. What the hell? There's like a lot of, I mean, it's not a small, God damn it. There's like a lot of little countries like got packed up in this little spot. And
so you see where it says Aleppo on that?
Yes.
See how far, how it's actually closer in that map than it is, than it looks like, to Turkey.
Really?
And a lot of people left there because what happened was there was like a lot of people that were Turkish in Syria, and there were a lot of Syrians in Turkey, and they kind of swapped. They left. The Turkish went north. Syrians went south to be in that country, to be in Syria. The ethnic Syrians went to Syria, probably because they'd be treated better. Because it is different. Turks and Arabs are different. There's all similarities. And there's, okay, you know how United States is different than Mexico, but the closer they get to the border, the more people that are speaking Spanish that aren't Mexican, of Mexican descent. There's a lot [S2] Right. [S1] Of white people speak Spanish. There's a lot of just people in general that speak Spanish. There's a lot of Tex-Mex. There's a lot of all these, you know, it starts intermingling. But then you start get to the border, you start leaving Texas, you start getting to, you know, go north Oklahoma. It gets less Hispanic, less Spanish, you know, and then you get to Mexico. There's less, no one speaking English and no one's speaking Spanglish. No one's speaking English and Spanish. They're speaking Spanish only.
Yeah.
For the most part. I mean, for the most part. Not. That's how it is. It's kind of like, so that's how the border of Syria is. There's people in northern Syria that speak fluent Turkish along with their native Arabic. But then there's also a lot of people in southern Turkey that speak fluent Arabic as well as Turkish. But the further you get away from Turkey, or you get away from the border, the more people speak just Turkish or Arabic.
So does Turkey have, like, you go to different parts of the country, there's different accents, kind of like here, or?
Not only is it like that, but I noticed it, the difference between people in the city and people in the country.
Really?
Like, I'll say a sentence in Turkish. It's one of the first ones I learned. So I would say, which is, I have a American accent. So I would say, Ulada çok kar var. Ulada means is the great mountain. That's what the name of the mountain is in Bursa. Çok kar means çok is a lot. Kar is snow. Var, there. It's there. See how the word.
So ula çok.
Ulada.
Ulada.
Çok. Kar.
Kar.
Var.
Ulada. Çok kar var.
And then you'd have. Katir talaj fi jabal.
I'm not even going to try to say
which
that.
Is, there's a lot of snow in the mountain in Arabic.
So there's a lot of R rolling.
Yeah, oh, in Arabic there is.
I can't roll my R's.
Yeah, it's hard. So what I was getting at is that if you had somebody from Istanbul, and this is not, okay, first of all, this is not how they would be. Someone who actually is a fluent Turkish speaker from Turkey will be better at this than I will. So when I hear, this is just how I heard it. So if you had someone from Istanbul, they would say, Ulada çok kar var. That's how they would say it. But if someone from like where I went hunting at, if he said it, he'd be like, Ulada çok kar var. Like a country person. Like a, it's distinct. Like, I couldn't, and I'm not, and I butchered that.
Yeah.
But it was, I noticed the difference in how they spoke in just that little bit.
So it's probably like a little bit of the difference between Monroe and the fucking Sticks of like
yes.
Franklin Parish.
And they're not far from each other. Istanbul and Bursa. Well, see, Istanbul is a big city. It's 15 million people.
Right.
But Bursa is 3 million people. But Bursa is also in the middle of nowhere. Like, it's like if you made West Monroe into 3 million people. That's what it's like. It's like a bunch of it's like country people in a city.
That's still a big city, though.
And then outside of the area of Bursa, there's a lot of country people. You go to these villages and they sell a lot of different trinkets. Like, they thrive off two things, like tourism, selling like little trinkets and honey. They sell honey and clothing, and they, because Turkey is a, there's very, they're like China of the Middle East. They make all kinds of stuff. That's why I'm trying to do some business there, personally. Not with my dad. Just different. Like, what I'm doing now is going to intersect with that in the future, hopefully. And that's why I'm trying to learn Turkish, which is, I'm having a hard time. It's because it's fucking hard.
Have you ever thought about, I mean, I don't know how much it would be around here, but have you ever thought about trying to get a tutor?
Well, I know someone who speaks, he's a Turkish. He's from Turkey. He's from Istanbul. A friend of mine. He's from Istanbul, speaks English fluently. He has a bit of an accent, but not much. But he's a, he is a Turk, a Turkish person. Sometimes it's good to have, like, some guy from America who went to Turkey and learned Turkish, because then he can kind of tell me, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like maybe the person from Turkish who learned English can't tell me the little nuances that
right.
a person who went there and learned it could teach me, you know what I'm saying? But I do a lot of stuff online, and I do stuff a lot with the books. But it's very...
Like, you know, really
different. It's a very different place.
No, I think it's good to try to learn
a second
language.
Except one thing. You know what Turkey is very similar to the United States is? Well, I take it back. What the United States used to be. They're so patriotic.
Really?
They're the most patriotic people I've ever seen in my life besides Americans. And as of now, like, just being there and then... Or just, okay, I have to take in a grain of salt. I've only been to Istanbul and then Bursa. Bursa, they're about an hour and a half apart. They're actually a little less, but there's so much traffic. Like, if you left Istanbul perfect and there was no traffic, you could probably get there in an hour. But with the traffic, it's going to be an hour and a half, if not more.
I think somebody just tried to get in your room.
All right, hold on a second. Talk about... learning a different language, Tim, or different cultures. There you go. Good job.
Okay, I'm the least cultural person on the planet. I don't know a second language. I failed Spanish 5 times, so I'm really not the person to ask, but I think everybody does need to learn a second language. As I take a sip of my Powerade, but it's just kind of weird that people can be like, really 20 minutes apart. But, you cross some invisible border that somebody made up, and they're just so different. Some people, in stranger parts of the world, they just, hey, even though we're family, yeah, they were born in this tribe or this place or this country, so we automatically hate them. And it's weird, but, Ferris gets to do a lot of traveling. I really want to travel to Europe and kind of see what goes on over there. I wouldn't mind going to Turkey with him, but, it's not higher up. You kind of want to do the American places, Paris, Berlin, shit like that. But definitely want to go to Amsterdam for obvious reasons. Although it might not be what it was, I have no idea. But so then you got I don't know. Passports and traveling right now just seems exhausting with all the COVID stuff. And just, do you have a passport? Do you have a mask? Then everything getting cheap. But, we'd like to hear some feedback from y'all one day. Where do y'all want to go? What do y'all, where's a place y'all really want to go? I've always wanted to go to Europe. Wouldn't mind checking out maybe the oceans in Australia. It seems like it'd be pretty cool. Looking at Ferris's world map. I've always wanted to go to Vancouver. I don't know why. It just always looks pretty in the pictures. I'm always up to try new places. Looking at his map. Vancouver, Australia would be pretty cool. You know, Japan seems like it'd be kind of nice to try. Definitely, you know, obviously the big European cities.
What were we talking about?
Just kind of like places that, you know. Yeah, you've gotten to obviously go a lot further than I ever have. You know, I've been to a lot of major cities in the U.S. But
you've never been on an airplane, have you?
No. That's why when we were all talking about taking that trip to Hawaii, I told you, hey, man, maybe my first trip on a plane doesn't need to be, you know, a long-ass flight. Because we don't know how I'm going to react. I might get up there and freak the fuck out. I don't know.
It's not so bad. It's not so bad. Like, you know, honestly, it's going to be super cool the first time you go. It's like, this is cool, man. This is kind of a new experience. And that's the only time you're going to feel like that. The rest, it fucking sucks. I fucking hate. You know, the airports are not too bad, to be honest with you. The airports, because if you go to a big airport and there's some accommodations and stuff for you, it's not too bad. There's cool air. There's like a lot of cool restaurants in airports, especially the big ones. Corona fucked a lot of shit up. There was a place that could only have so many. Like I went, when I went to Turkey, I had an 8-hour layover. Actually, no, I had a 10-hour layover. So they had these rooms, and they're a tiny room. They're tiny.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably it's just a room. It's enough for you to like lay down, and it's only like this big and wide. Like you're literally in a closet. You're in a closet with a chair that sits down like this, and then it flattens out and turns into a comfortable bed. But if you are at all claustrophobic, it is not for you. I mean, it's not, you're not like this, but I mean, it's small. It really is small. But man, when you are tired as fuck and you've just been on an airplane and you want to sleep and you want to relax a little bit, you get in there, and I got in there and I slept for 8 fucking hours. It was fucking great. Got up about 2 hours left. Because, I mean, you have to, the more you pay, the longer you can stay. And I was like, I wanted to stay there and sleep and then maybe just chill out and just kind of like relax, get on the phone, bullshit. And then I got out, got some food, you know, got a hot meal, got to my boarding place in time with an hour. Usually get to where you start boarding with an hour, typically.
How often do flights get delayed?
No, not often. Okay. But it depends. It just depends. I haven't had a lot of that, but they run those things like final machines in most places. But weather places where the weather's bad.
Funny
that you said that. I did get delayed, actually, in Dallas for one day when a snowstorm hit. Because when I was in Dallas, the day I got there, first of all, it took me 9 hours to get to Dallas. It was one of the scariest drives I've ever made in my life. It was fucking terrifying. Like, I went off the road twice. And one time I almost went off the road, I almost was on a bridge, like those small interstate bridges. I started sliding on that, and I was like, oh, shit. I was hoping I didn't hit the fucking sides. But I finally got there, and the guy who I rode with, he drove my truck back, and that gave me anxiety, too, because, you know, it was probably worse by the time he was driving back. But I got there, and I'd been in a car for 9 hours, so I'm the kind of person that I like to walk around and go do stuff. So I got up and went outside, and first of all, I've never felt cold like that before. It was fucking freezing. It was so fucking cold. And I walked around, and there was 8 inches of snow on the ground. So I just walked to the corner store, and picked up some drinks. I already got some stuff from Bucky's, so I didn't give a shit.
I'm going to say this, because, I didn't lose my power during the ice storm, luckily. About the only time I never lose power, but I lost my power during the hurricanes. Mm-hmm. Like, I was probably without power for like 2 or 3 weeks. Not all together, but, I mean, not consecutively, but all together from all the hurricanes we had a couple years ago. I was out of power for 2 weeks for sure, maybe even 3. I will be without power in the fucking snow. I know it's cold. I know it sucks, but God damn it, I will get warm. You know what happened during hurricane season? I started running out of fucking options. I had battery-powered fans. I had, like, 3 of them, like, sitting beside me on my bed blowing on me. Okay? And maybe other places don't have to worry about this, but it's 110 degrees during August here.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I got blankets. I got jackets. I will sleep in that shit. I will take the fucking snow. And then, not to mention the food. You know, it gets cold. big whoop. Food just stays cold. We lost so much food.
Yeah.
And then bounced from couch to couch. That's no fun. You know, and I didn't want to overstay my welcome at any of y'all's houses, but well, I mean,
couldn't stay here. Mine was out with power.
you
know what I figured out? Is that one, you learn why people don't go used to sleep outside. Because it was cooler outside than it was inside. And two, it would have just took you longer to break you. But it would have broke you eventually. You would have got used to it. I was sleeping 7 hours. Like, what the fuck? And I fucking hated it. You fought it hard, but give it a couple months, you'd have been like, all right. Because you know what it'd be like? It'd be like my grandmother. My grandmother keeps it at 78 no matter what.
God damn, that sounds terrible. Now, here's the thing. I would have been fine eventually, but I would have gone through some Lord of the Fly shit.
Oh, you would have hated your life for a couple weeks.
And you'd have come to my house, and I had fucking face paint on. I'd be like,
you would have run out of batteries, because people would have been buying the batteries. You wouldn't have to be able to do that. And then, yeah. But my flight was delayed because of that fucking ice storm, and they took off. It scared the shit out of me, but we took off. And then, okay, so I had that 8-hour layover or 10-hour layover, and I got to sleep in the little room for it. Well, I went to the same airport on the way back. I had a 15-hour layover.
Fuck that.
Okay.
You know, How long was the flight to get to that layover?
Not very long.
Okay. I mean, not that it makes it any better, but if it
was... That was a 15-hour layover to get ready to go on a 15-hour flight. Yeah, that sucked. Well, I was on, I got there, and then I went to that place to get a room, and they didn't have a room, and they wouldn't have a room for a couple, like a day. So that means I had to go on the concourse, like where people just all these chairs and sit. And I sat, and I got a meal. Can't really get on your phone because there's no internet, or the internet's really shitty. So I'm just there,
staring at the sky, pondering how you got here.
And I was just thinking, I was like, "Oh my god, this is terrible." And then I, at one point, like people would walk by me, and they probably thought I was a zombie. There was a few hours wasn't so bad because there weren't many people in the airport. And all of us, and then, you know, you kind of relax, and, you know, I hit my bag around me. I didn't want people to walk up and steal my bag and shit like that. So I hugged it to him. I had it wrapped around the front, and I held on to it, and I put my head on it and tried to sleep. The worst sleep ever, by the way. But then a bunch of people were getting off, and they were disembarking because it's an international airport, and you just couldn't sleep anymore because there's just so many people walking around. Even with your earphones on, it was still bad. And finally, like the last 2 hours, I had a little internet, and I was able to watch the Saints game a little bit. That was on, and I finally got on that plane, and oh my! Well, then I had to go through fucking airport security, which, man, they are fucking so strict in these airports, man.
Really?
Fuck! It's just too much, man. You have to take everything off, and they have to scan. They scan your backpack. I don't know what the fuck they do. They scan your fucking iPad. Like, they scan it. I don't know what the fuck they're doing with it. And then they ask you all kinds of these questions about, like, man, I was just like, enough.
So the only airport I've ever been into is Monroe Airport, and it's not.
I don't know. You have no idea.
Literally, you show up. I mean, you could show up 10 minutes before your flight leaves and be golden. Especially if you're just getting dropped off. Like, what I had to do, you know, I walked inside with the person I was with to help them carry their bags, but pretty much I was in and out of there in like 5 seconds. And they were on their flight in like 5 seconds.
So, you are a virgin when it comes to airplanes, or airports, airports and airplanes. I am like a college girl that just wants to, like, she wants to get laid, right?
Okay.
My dad is like a hooker who's been burned through and put up wet. Like, he's been through the ringer when it comes to air. Like, but the difference between my dad and me is that dad would always have the lounge. If you could afford to be like in the Delta, if you ever travel and you travel a lot, you need to be a lounge member. So you can go to a lounge and you can just sleep and you'll be not around anybody. You can put your shit up in a locker. You can take a shower. The problem when I traveled last time, all the showers were closed down because of Corona.
God.
So I basically had to just, I would get the paper towels and get soap, and I had some deodorant, and I would get some water and go into there and give myself like a sponge bath. And I would wash my underarms, you know, all the stuff that, you know, just that are going to smell. Underarms, your chest. Then I finally got another one and cleaned my balls and my ass. Just because, and not only that, because you're sitting down and you're farting all the time, and it's just making a death trap in your asshole. So it's just horrible. So, in the, you don't have wet wipes. You have to make sure you bring wet wipes.
Wet wipes are key no matter what.
But man, even then, that's not clean. You're still not clean. Like you're fairly clean, but you're not. You're still sweating like a fucking horse. Like it's horrible. And then, I went in there and gave myself a fucking horse sponge bath, and now I mean it kept me smelling okay for a little while, but I know by the 10th hour on that airplane, I know I smelled like a fucking rank dead deer on the side of the road.
You smell worse than me too, so I can imagine it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I guess it's just probably because you're bigger, so you might sweat a little bit more than I do.
I know. I do sweat more than you.
And I lived with you, too, so you know, I know.
But you got white people smell.
It's not the same.
You don't have a smell.
Could be Indian.
Yeah. Also be the food. I mean, you don't eat any.
I eat very bland food.
You eat very bland food, and that does affect how you smell.
Speaking of, though, so I've been on this colon cleanse. I'm almost at the end of my 2 weeks. It's a 14-day colon cleanse.
First of all, why'd you do a colon cleanse?
So, unfortunately, I went down a weird rabbit hole one night. So, this just go with it. Basically, like, what happens a lot of times for humans is we're back, you know, even though we're not constipated, we're backed up. Okay. And, you know, it can be detrimental to weight loss and sleep patterns and just your overall health. Well, you kind of get two options. You can do a colon cleanse, or you can do, like, a 10-day fast.
Okay. I'm listening.
I'm not doing a 10-day fucking fast. So.
Like, just drinking water?
Pretty much.
It's a little retarded.
It's a little retarded, but it works. I ain't doing that.
10 days is a long day.
It's like I'm basically, it was 7 to 10 days. Now, 10 is the extreme amount, and you know who Kelly Slater is? He's a surfer. He talked about it on Joe Rogan podcast. He does a 10-day fast once or twice a year to completely clean him out. It's an extreme amount, yes. But 7 is a normal, like, clean-out fast. Still a long fucking time. Not doing it. So, other option. Take these fucking colon cleanse pills. Man, my shits, my farts. Plus, I've been on a high-protein diet, so I've been eating a lot of meat and eggs. It's rough, man. Like, my asshole. So, anyway, point being, we're talking about wet wipes. I ran out of wet wipes while I was fucking sitting there just leaking out. And I had to wipe my ass with normal toilet paper for the first time in fucking forever. And I was like, can't do it. Well, I am
sorry. Oh, wait, so you don't use any dry toilet paper?
Not while I'm taking a shit, no.
It's interesting. I usually use a dry one to get the big chunky parts off. And then I finish with a wet wipe.
I do not. Nope, I am. When I'm taking a shit, I'm strictly wet wipes. I don't give a fuck.
It just feels like I'm just like creating a oil painting if I use a wet wipe.
With you, I could probably understand it, but with me,
I'm just taking some ferocious dumps, man. It really defies, man.
Well, right now, luckily on this colon cleanse, nothing is solid anymore. So,
the longest fast I've ever done in my life is 4 complete days.
How was that?
You know, by the third day, I didn't give a fuck anymore.
Really?
The second day is horrible.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's like how it is on any diet, if you think about it, though. Like, if you do, like, any diet, fasting, just go in, changing your diet altogether. On that second day, at least for me, I get the headaches. My body is just like, what the fuck is going on? I'm going through, like, a detox period from grease and shit.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's miserable.
But, you know, okay, so I wish you go to Turkey one day because I want to see your face when you go. Okay, so when you go to most places like a hotel or a condo where the house, you know, where you're staying at, like an apartment and stuff like that, you go in and they have normal shit toilets. But you go out to Turkey, you're walking around the neighborhoods or stuff like that, and you go into the bathrooms, it's the flat toilets.
So it's the ones where you pretty much squat down.
You squat down like a fucking animal and you fucking take a shit. There's no bar, there's no bars to hold you up either. You just fucking
that just get in seems there so and, barbaric.
Well, I mean, think about it. I mean, that's what people did until John. The guy's name was Crapper. I'm not making that up. You didn't know that?
I did. I've never looked it up.
Okay. I think there were a few other people that invented a toilet, but he's the one who came up with like the most famous version of the toilet. It was like John D. Crapper. I'm not making that up. Fact check me right fucking now.
I am. I believe you, but I'm just like,
that's why they call it the Crapper.
John D.
It's something John Crapper. I'm not Let's see.
Okay, John versus the Crapper, who is the rightful owner of the throne.
Was a guy named John too?
Hold up.
Thomas Crapper. I don't know where John just seemed like the right name.
I would have believed you. Thomas Crapper. Founded Thomas Crapper and Company in London, a sanitary equipment company. Crapper held 9 patents, 3 of them for the water closet and improvements such as a floating ball cock.
You know what that is?
Nope. Is that the little thing that when you flush the toilet, it...
Yeah. But was there another guy named John? He created something else? Origin... Crap. Let's see. It has often been claimed in popular culture that the profane slang term for human bodily waste, crap, originated with Thomas Crapper because of the association with laboratories. A common version is... Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to the Crapper. The word crap is actually a Middle English word that predates its application of bodily waste. It's most likely comes from crappen, to cut off, pluck off, or separate. Interesting. If there was a guy named Billy John and he created another type pool, I would have fucking shit my pants. I knew it was something John, but or something crapper. But yeah, I wouldn't like some people think that would be bullshit. It's like no, it's not bullshit. But I guess it must have been Mr. Flat or somebody who made that other toilet because you go in there and you get you know you're seeing a dog take a shit.
Yeah,
that's what you look like. You go in there.
So like you don't have nothing to prop you up. You're just like no. Hoping your quads are strong.
You got strong quads. You hope your knees are good.
Parents, I don't want to go to Turkey.
You go there and you fucking lay a fat shit.
How big is the hole?
I'm just big enough to shit in. I mean. So
okay. What happens if you miss?
Well, okay, so it's a flat toilet and has like, first of all, their bathrooms. You know how you go in the bathroom here? Like you just go in without shoes on.
I mean, yeah.
You always wear shoes in the fucking toilet in Turkey. You never not go. To them. A toilet is not somewhere you go in there and scroll on Facebook and call somebody an asshole because they're not a conservative or liberal. You go in there and you shit and you get out.
Well, what's the fun of that? I know.
Well, because to them it's like something that's gross. You just go in there and shit and get out. You shit, you wipe your ass with water. First of all, with water. They use toilet paper, but you're supposed to use water. They'll have like a little teapot little thing that's for water to put on the paper towel and clean your ass. Okay. So it's a flat toilet and it has like the bowl part. So you just crap anywhere in that bowl part, right? And then there's a little pull cord on top and you pull that and it flushes the toilet. Yeah. That's it. I tried my best to not shit in public. Like I would always come back and fucking hit that toilet up and take a big shit in there. But I remember... Each time I would go to Turkey, the first 2 or 3 days, I was sick. I usually get sick because you've been on the airline, you've been eating airline food, and then every time I would go there, Dad would be like, let's go get the kebabs, and this. You go in there and you eat, the food's good, but you're just like, your body has been just dealing with like really cheap food that's very bland, and then you're just getting inundated with spices and stuff. So I'd come back and it wasn't necessarily, you always have one diarrhea, one good one. But then a lot of times I would throw up. First 2 days, I would probably throw up once. Now, the last time I went, I didn't throw up as much. I only threw up once. First time I went, I threw up a good bit, like, first day. Because it's just, it's the food, the water, and, like,
what's I don't the know, time difference over there?
9 hours. Ooh. So your whole body's just, like, in state of shock for a day. And not to mention you have jet lag. You never experienced jet lag, have you?
No.
It's fucking, it's the worst. Oh, goddamn. Like, the funny, so what I'll do, there's two things that I do when I'm in the airplane. One is I have the clock that tells me time in Dallas. Time in Dallas is the same, roughly the same time as our time. It's a few, like a few minutes difference. So what I would do is that if I would not go, I would fight the urge to go to sleep until it was like 12 o'clock Dallas time. And then I would go to sleep.
12 o'clock afternoon or 12 o'clock midnight?
Midnight.
Okay.
So I'd be on the same schedule as if, well, I was in Dallas. And then when I would, hopefully when I would get to Turkey, I would get to Turkey in like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and then you really have to fight the urge to fall asleep. Fight it hard. Because if you don't fight it hard and you fall asleep at like 4, you're in a world of shit. So you need to stay awake at least till 8. At least 8's the minimum. Get to 8.
Just sounds miserable.
Well, I mean, you're going halfway across the goddamn planet.
Now you're actually going to the other side of the planet. There ain't no halfway about it. You're on the other side of the planet.
Well, you just, you get there because what happens with jet lag, you get somewhere and you go to sleep. Let's say sometimes you'll get there like at 10 o'clock and you'll go to sleep and you're like super sleepy, tired, sleepy, right? You go to sleep and then you wake up and you're just like, man, I feel great. You look at the clock, it's like 11:58. You've only been asleep for 2 hours. And then your body's like, I'm awake. Fuck you. We're staying awake. And so you sit there in that bed for a couple hours until you can fall asleep. And then you wake up again. It takes about about 3 days for you to become like where you're getting a full night's sleep. And even then, it's like sometimes you're still waking up. I always woke up with, if I stayed there 2 weeks, I would always wake up around 4 in the morning when the first week. And then I finally could be able to sleep during the whole day. Then your body acclimates. But man, that first 3 days, but I've got good at like figuring it out, like knowing when to sleep, when not to sleep. I got it pretty good. But if it's your first time, you're going to get railed. It's going to suck. It's going to fucking suck so bad. Ugh. Traveling is fun. Traveling is fun, but damn, man. Your body just, it wants to do things like the circadian rhythm, like all the sun comes up, sun goes down, and you just have to go to sleep. This you evolved to go to sleep. You never moved a couple, you know, maybe a couple hundred miles if you were in the army, like ancient Rome, like within a week, you know. But besides that, like you were not changing time zones within, because it only takes 11 hours to get from Dallas to Turkey.
Is it direct?
12, yeah, direct. Which is a better flight. Honestly, 12 hours is better than going anywhere and you have to have a goddamn layover. Because I went to Doha, which is in Qatar. Which Qatar is 4 hours past Turkey. So I'm flying over fucking Turkey where I'm meant to go and I have to go 4 hours to another place and hope to God that I don't have a long layover. And then I go 4 hours back to Turkey. I told Dad, I said, Dad, next time, give me the goddamn direct flight to Istanbul, please. It would have been on Turkish Airlines, which is not as good as Qatari Airlines, but shit, man, 12 hours. And you sleep 5, you stay up a little bit, watch some movies, because you can watch some movies that are not come out yet, and you can pass pass 12 hours pretty quick. It's not too bad, but, man, when you have 30 hours of complete travel time, that fucking sucks. It's bad. And you, even with, you know, you're not on a, being on the plane, once you're on the plane, it's not too bad because you kind of know when you're going to get there. And it's usually a little earlier than what they say.
So what's the longest road trip you've taken?
I don't know which further, either from the place in New York, upstate New York to here, or from Oklahoma City to Casper, Wyoming. They were both about 17 hours.
Yeah, that's a long
And I drove the whole fucking way, too.
It's a long fucking time.
Well, I take that back. I had to stop one place and sleep on the side of the road because I was fucking falling asleep.
Your truck didn't have a Tattler, did it?
A what?
A Tattler.
What's that?
Basically, like how long you've been on the road, where you are, what speed you're going.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Really?
Yeah, fuck. Because some companies only cared about my speed.
Okay.
That's all they care about.
Some companies like, hey man, why have you been on the road driving this long? Like, pull over and go. Like,
I don't know how much they like me. I don't think they care that if I died or not. I'm just saying. So, but the problem was like it was fun driving from upstate New York in the mountains, down the coast. It was all good until you got to like past Bristol in Virginia. But once you got down there and you got to the south, and it was just because I got to I-20 at north of Atlanta, and it looks the same for 7 hours from Atlanta to here. It looks the exact same. It's all the fucking interstate. It's the same goddamn interstate, minus the hilly ass places in Mississippi. It was horrible. It was this last 7 hours was the worst part of that. But the Casper, Wyoming, it was the first 3 hours where I was like I thought I was gonna die because I was falling asleep. Like there's a difference between nodding asleep and falling asleep. Yeah. I had a fucking dream while I was driving. Okay, that's how I don't know what I was dreaming about. But I remember waking up because of that fucking you hit the side that woke me, and I'm talking about I shot up. This is what I did. I went and got a Subway sandwich. I got a foot-long meatball marinara with all the fixings. I ate that whole fucking thing, took a fat dump, and then I took not one but 2 5-hour energies, and I drove my ass until I got to Wyoming. And then when I got there, I wasn't tired. I wasn't tired. I was kind of amped up. So I waited until they served, not filet mignon, what did they fucking serve? The steak that takes, when they take a long time to cook, prime rib.
Yeah.
They had a prime rib and mashed potatoes and gravy, like, meal, all you could eat for $20. And I fucking gave him that. I got in my room, gave him the $20. I sat there and watched the Denver Broncos play of somebody. It was whenever, Elway, what's his name?
Manning.
Manning was still there. I sat there and I ate enough beef since I was, sweating ground beef. And then I went there and I fucking fell asleep. Yeah, and I delivered the truck, waited for someone to drive me to the airport, and I flew back. That was the end of it. But I enjoyed the drive because it was kind of get to see the Rocky Mountains and the Great Plains. Like, the Great Plains was on my right, and it was just like an ocean of grass, and the left was the Rocky Mountains. It wasn't a bad drive, but Kansas was horrible. When I got out of Kansas, it started getting more enjoyable. When I got to Colorado and got to Denver, it wasn't too bad.
You ain't never had to make that drive down I-10 from Midland to L.A., have you?
No, but I've made Midland to here many times.
It's not the same. I mean, it sucks. But so from about where I-20 crosses into I-10 in Texas, about Midland, a little bit further, but you get the drift. From West Texas to about California, it's a whole lot of fucking nothing. You go through Phoenix at one point, which is pretty cool. But till you get to Phoenix, so from West Texas to Phoenix, it is goddamn nothing. Just fucking desert and fucking death. And that was a long drive. Now, we went to Colorado one time. We went to Denver. Well, North Colorado. We went north of Denver. We took Texas through New Mexico north to get there, and then we drove from, I guess we went through Kansas and Oklahoma to get back. Both drives are pretty shitty because there ain't nothing there. When I went to Nashville, from Jackson to Memphis, it is absolutely, like, it's only 2 hours from, like, Jackson to Memphis. Maybe a little longer, but it is nothing in between. And there is just flat farmland. It is fucking bullshit.
It's horrible. Once I got out of Midland and I started getting towards New Mexico, it started changing and getting more mountainous. It was not bad in drive. But like most of Midland was fucking horrible. But I realized one thing. When I sometimes I would get woken up at 2 in the morning and had to, like, or 1 in the morning, and had to drive to New Mexico, and the drive to New Mexico from Midland is, I can't remember, it was a couple, 2 hours. And sometimes you'd be an hour and a half into New Mexico. The furthest I ever went was whenever, I don't know where the time zone is, but it's like, and this, where I was at, you step right here, you're in the mountain time zone, you step right there, you're in the central. They had, everywhere had 2 clocks.
That fucking sucks.
But I got close to Roswell. I was like within 40 miles of Roswell, New Mexico.
Did you want
to
take a
photo? I wanted to go, but I just didn't have the time to go. But it was a little mountain. It was a cool little place. But I also saw why people think they see UFOs there. It's because it's so fucking desolate. You're driving out there trying to find these rigs in the middle of nowhere, and it's so fucking dark. And they have these nice roads. And the roads are really nice, probably because not many people are on them. And I'm driving late at night, and I'm just like, and you're tired. And you're like, oh, God. You probably see why people see UFOs. One, they're so tired, and then so you're in the middle of nowhere, and you can see all the stars. And then you have to worry about hitting cows on the fuck, because farmers own both sides of the road, so they let their cattle cross from one side to the other. So you have to worry about smacking a fucking cow with your truck. And I don't care how big that Dodge 2500 or 3500, I can't remember what the fuck it was. It was a big, strong, powerful truck. It had some fucking ass behind it. But everyone else had a similar truck, and I saw the aftermath. What a fucking... It's like hitting a mountain, man. A cow? I saw dead cows and the wreckage of what was vehicles and glass everywhere. I don't give a shit what it is. You hit a fucking cow, and everyone's going 70, 80 miles an hour. Imagine hitting a cow going 80 miles an hour.
I don't want to.
And these are big, fat cows they use for, like, meat. So you're just smacking into a 2,000-pound boulder. Now, I will say this. I wouldn't say it was fun, but I didn't really worry about it because I was in a tank. Is that coyotes were everywhere. They were like rats. And I would just fucking smack them. Because I couldn't... going 80 miles an hour trying to get to a rig, I'm not swerving to get out of the way of a fucking coyote.
Not a fucking coyote.
And they're not like the coyotes here. The coyotes here are pretty big. Not the ones here are not as big as the ones up north, but the ones there are like desert coyotes, and they're fucking scroungy little meth head looking fucks. I went somewhere, and I think I hit 6 coyotes. I'm talking about my front of my car looked like the battle scene in Braveheart. There was just blood and guts and legs and just pieces of fur. I destroyed every fucking any animal that walked in the way. I was like, I'm not killing myself over anything. I hit dogs. Not that I wanted to hit them. It's just like...
You can't stop.
You're 75 miles an hour. I'm not swerving. And usually I would have like an oil field sub in the back of my truck that weighed over 1,000 pounds. And if you start swerving with that thing, you're going to fucking die. So whatever was in my way, it was getting demolished. Cats, dogs, coyotes, deer. I only hit one deer. But all those, that truck could eat them up. But I didn't want to, the cows what scared me. Cows and horses.
That's a big goddamn animal.
Well, the funny thing is the guy who trained me, he was only a few months off of getting a wreck where they hit 2 horses at the same and he had to get like physical therapy and all kinds of stuff because the horse like fucking hit the windshield and like it said like it was we had white trucks. The whole truck was covered in blood, just guts and blood and horse hair and eyeballs and they sued the fucking farmer. If horses got out and they were going at 75 miles an hour in a Dodge 2500 loaded down because on the back of the trucks, this is the thing that made them so heavy is they put these, had a big roller on the back
right.
And they had a big thick metal thing insert that they went in. They went in like kind of like in the bay part of the truck.
Yeah.
And that probably weighed 1,000 pounds itself. And then you would put an oil field sub that probably with tool and all was probably another 1,000 pounds, if not more. So you're driving a truck that's loaded down as much as it can be. And then you're fucking hitting animals with it. Yeah. I try not to wreck with that thing.
No doubt.
Funny thing is, I did wreck with one.
Yeah, you did.
I hit that dude. He was stopping the road. I was going 74 miles an hour. And I stopped moving in like 10 feet because they did the diagnostics on the thing because they could show how I went from 74 to 0 in like just a short amount of time. I'm talking about I hit the fuck out of that plane, man. And I hit so hard that I broke my hand, destroyed the computer, destroyed everything in that truck. And I don't remember if I had my seatbelt on or not, to be honest with you. I really don't. I don't know how I didn't fucking die. The fact that that truck collapsed in and of itself is the reason why I was alive. But I hit the airbag hit me so fucking hard. Not only did it hit the airbag, but the airbag hit me and I hit the like the front of the car, like it hit me. And my lip was turned up in like my left part of my lip. You can't see it because I have my beard growed out. I have a scar there where when I got out, my lip was like, I was like, I could see the top part of my teeth and the top part of my gum. And I thought what happened was that my lip got cut off. That's what I thought happened. But it turned out, I was like, I got out of the car and some guy was like, "You're all right, man." I was like, "What the fuck happened?" Because I was a little woozy. And I tried to kick the windows out. You can't kick a window out of a car. It's really hard to do. Because I was freaking out. I was like, I thought the car was going to catch on fire. Because I had to jump to the back because the doors in the front were fucking bent. Couldn't get out. So I was trying to open, like, kick the doors. And then I was like, I was freaking out so much, I didn't realize, oh, I could just open the door. So I finally just opened the door. But at first, I was like trying to kick the windows out. I got out and I was pouring out with blood. And I see this one dude look at me. And he's like, "What the fuck?" And I looked at him. There was blood coming out of me. And I was like, hold on a second. I gotta go find my lip. So I went back in and trying to find my lip. The rest of it so they could sew it back on. And then I realized, like, it was rolled up like a tortilla. And I undid it. But when I undid it, it unrolled and, like, it split in half. Like, it was split up to my nose. Like, so it had that, had to go to the emergency room to get them to sew it up. And I hocked up the biggest fucking blood clot in my fucking sinus and spit it out.
That's awesome and not awesome.
He was fucking gnarly, man. I got out. I was like, "Did I kill that guy?" That's what I said. I asked him to kill the person. He said, "No, he's alive." And then the state trooper comes up to me. "Were you wearing your seatbelt?" Usually your seatbelt will lock when that happens. Yours wasn't locked. I was like, "Yeah, it's pretty weird." And he looked at me and he goes, "I don't get paid enough for this shit." He's wearing a seatbelt. But I didn't get in trouble for it. I just had to pay a ticket. That's it. It was in Arkansas. It was in a little north of, I can't remember exactly where. It was north of Shreveport. I was looking for a rig sign. I looked to my right. Is that the rig sign? Looked back. I fucking hit the fuck out of that.
Man, some of them, I ain't ever had to go what you had to go to, but I mean, even some of the rigs out towards like Luna and shit, man, them motherfuckers are hard to find.
You can't see them. In Midland, Texas, you could see them 10 miles away.
It's because it's fucking flat.
And there's nothing there. But here, they could be right. They could be within 100 feet of you, and you can't see it.
I'll tell you what, man. That's one job I'm glad I ain't ever done. I've done shit. I've done construction. I've done every form of building a house you can do. I've done, other than just putting up the fucking frame, which about 2 years, I'll have to wire that motherfucker. But actually, that's next semester. But
I remember my boss was like, "We're going to have to go through your phones to make sure that you weren't texting." And I was like, "Well, one, I wasn't. And two, if you fire me, I don't give a fuck." And he looked at me like, I had enough. I was done. And I'll tell you another thing. I fucking ass raped. I'm talking about bent over a barrel and ass raped workman's comp. Because I was probably good to go after, because my hand was broke. That's what kept me from. So after 6 weeks, I complained to the doctors. "Oh, my hand still hurts." They kept me out another couple of weeks. And I'm talking about I lived my best life that I did. I fucked them out of so much money. I didn't give a shit either. It's out of the I can't get sued anymore, so fuck them. But I fucked them over hard. And you know what? The guy goes, "It's been over 6 weeks, man. Your bones should heal." And I was like, I went to the doctor. He said, "It's still not right yet." And he knew I was full of shit. I said another 3 weeks. I was 9 weeks out. And I was like, living the good life. I'm talking about Tim. I
was here, motherfucker. I was
so happy. My happiness meter went off the fucking roof, man. And not only that, I was going fishing and getting paid. I didn't give a shit. If they would have sent a fucking private investigator, they would have saw me out with my broken hand throwing a bass bait. And just going deer hunting. It was November, too, so I was going deer hunting, too. I didn't cry in a stand. If they hit, I would have been guilty. Like, I would have just took whatever punishment they gave me. I wouldn't even question it.
How much time we at?
No, we still got a little bit. But yeah, I you know what? Ask me if I gave a fuck.
Man, the worst thing about those type, we were talking about it, because, like, some of us in my class, you know, we're older, so, you know, we've done those type of shit jobs. You know, one of my classmates, he's former pipeline, and he's pretty much, you know, we were joking about how, like, you get a young person as your boss, it's not so bad, but you get that old man who spent his whole life out there, yeah, they don't give a fuck about you. Get the shit done.
I had a piece of shit as a boss. Like, so... When I went to Oklahoma City, that dude, fuck, goddamn, I fucking hate him. Timothy, his name was Tim. I fucking didn't like him at all. He was a piece of shit. And then I went to Midland. When I went to Midland, now Midland sucked a fat cock, but I loved the people that was there. There were a bunch of people that were like ex-Marines, and like, they were just, in the manager, he was fucking cool, man. And I was making a lot more money there. I was making over $100,000 there. So I was having a great time there, but I was in Midland, so I was just sad. I was like, I was there for like 2 weeks at a time, and I only got like 2 days off.
I really still think you got fucked in that scenario, by the way. I just don't.
I did. Why do you think I fucked them over for 8-9 weeks, Tim?
Like, I just don't see how you can be out. Like, no job like that has ever said, hey, be out for 2 weeks and come home for 2 days. Like, no.
Yeah.
There's a reason why they had. Now, I know plenty of people that worked on the rig that they had a layover, and so, you know, they spent. Guy I knew that spent the most time out there, he had to do a 4-month tour, because that's pretty much what it was. He was out there for 4 months straight, because every time he was supposed to come home, something happened, and he had to stay out there. And he pretty much had the same problem you did. He's like, man, I had all the money in the world.
But nothing to do with it.
He's like, man.
It's fucking useless.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he said. He's like, you know, it was cool because I wasn't spending it. But at the same time, I was so goddamn bored and miserable because you just can't do fuck all out there.
You're not around your girlfriend. You're not around your friends. You're not around your family. You're around work all the time. And when you're not at work, you're fucking trying to sleep and hope you don't fucking die of a heart attack. Like, it's... I lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, I remember.
Didn't you
train with Lovato for a little while?
I did there, but when I got to Midland, I couldn't do anything. There was nowhere to train. So I lost weight because I was depressed and I wouldn't eat.
Depression's a motherfucker. Now, see, I'm the opposite. When I get depressed, I'm eating whatever the fuck I find.
Like, I would eat one time a day, but I would only probably eat like 1,000 calories, but 1,000 calories a day is not a lot.
No.
And then I'll go back and just fucking sit down and wait for them to call me. And I was in a Winnebago that had no heat. It was the middle of winter in Midland, and I had to take sponge baths because it was so cold I couldn't take a bath. It was so fucking cold, and they said, like, and the wheel was fucked up on the axle, so I couldn't take it to go get the propane it needed, so I had to take sponge baths. It was so cold, and at one point I was like, I can't take a bath. I can't take a shower. It's so fucking cold. I wouldn't even, like, it was like 28 degrees in the fucking thing, and trying to get cold water and putting it on your body when it's 28 degrees. I got into the truck with my guy who's training me one day, and he goes, you stink like shit, man. I was like, I fucking know. And then I got in trouble because I went to the truck stop and put it on the fucking company car and took a shower. And they fucking wrote me up for that. I didn't give a shit, though. They would get mad at me because I just said I didn't give a fuck. Sorry.
Hey, man, sometimes you gotta just be like, you know what? If you're going to treat me less than human, you best believe I don't give a fuck.
And I kept asking them can you do something to get some heat in this fucking place? It was like for 2 weeks straight, I was fucking taking sponge baths. Like I was in a nursing home. Like I was shitting my pants all the time and just had to have a nurse. That's what it was like. It was so fucking bad. And then, that's not even the worst part. The worst part is they sent me to Shreveport. And that dude was a fucking piece. I fucking hate him. I hope I'm not saying I hope he dies. I just hope if he does die, I'm not gonna shed a tear. He was such a fucking piece of shit. Fuck that dude. In fact, he's still like in my phone as his name, and in quotation marks says "fuck me" because every time he would call me, I go "fuck me." Oh God, fuck me, man. I fucking hated him. He was such a cocksucker, man. He would get the other guy that I worked with to spy on me to see what I was doing. He'd always check, and he'd always make me drive when I was sleepy. And one time I had to stop. I stopped at a church to go to sleep because I was so fucking sleepy. That dude fucking hated me. And then, you know what? I obliged him to because I hated his ass too.
Why did he hate you?
I don't know. I really don't. Mostly because, okay, and I'm not saying anything bad. He was a Pentecostal guy, okay? I may have been a Muslim guy. You see where that... Okay, that was... But that's not the reason why. He had another... The guy, Eric, that I worked with, he was a Pentecostal guy too, went to Dewey's church. And he gave him a lot of shit, but he also gave him a little leeway because he was a Pentecostal guy. So, and they, you know... And if it was Muslim and it was, and I was a Pentecostal, it would have been like that thing. You know, probably been in the same way. You know, but Eric would do anything that he told him to do. Anything. He would be like, drop his hat and do it, right? I was just like, man, fuck you, man. You're a fucking, you don't know what the fuck you're doing. At one point, I wish he had got fired because I wanted to take the management job. Because he didn't know what the fuck he was doing. And he was running us fucking ragged, man. Out, like, you didn't have a fucking day off. No days off. Zero.
Yeah, that's against the law.
Monday through Sunday, every fucking day. The only difference is a Saturday and Sunday was even worse because it wasn't that you weren't off. You were off, technically. But if they called you, you had to go. And guess how many times you got called? There was only two of us. So I got called out a lot. It's Saturday and Sunday.
So technically when that happens, though, you're supposed to get paid double. I know that doesn't happen on those rigs, but...
Yeah, I didn't... And then the worst part is that a lot of times we wouldn't have... We'd have four rigs that were going, and they didn't need us. So the rest of the day, for 12 hours, I had to do sales calls. Had to go there and try to convince rigs that didn't have our tool to... And guess what most of them told me?
Go fuck yourself?
Get the fuck off my property and go fuck yourself and die. Yeah. And you know what? As soon as they said that, I'd be like, you have a good day, sir. And I'll get in my car and I'll leave. Had someone in Luna tell me that. I walked into his office and the rig in his little trailer. I walked in there and there was the Playboy channel and they were doing like, you know, the fake fucking on it. And I looked up and I looked there and he wasn't there and I walked out and then he walked to the front door and said, what the fuck are you doing? I said, I was coming here to do a sales call. Get the fuck off the property. All right. Sure thing, buddy.
Why are they like that?
Man, this fucking job's hard. That's why. The job is fucking hard. That's why. And they fucking just, they're making money, but goddamn.
They're miserable fucks. Is that what it is? I mean,
yeah, I was one of them.
That's fair.
So, okay, we're 18, hour and 18 minutes. Actually, hour and 19 minutes. How long we were going before that? About 2 minutes. So we're probably at an hour and 20.
Yeah.
So I felt like it was just me ranting a lot, but whatever.
Ah, fuck it. I didn't really have that much to say.
Try to get somebody on.
Maybe Melcher's coming on. I got a couple other people.
Okay.
Sex therapist. No guarantees. I'm talking to her right now. But, I mean, she lives down south. I don't know when she comes back in town.
Okay.
So, yeah. And she's going to take some convincing, but I'll see what I can do.
Okay. Is there anything else?
No, I got nothing.
Well, thanks for listening, and thank Tim, and catch us on Amazon Prime, Spotify, Audible, Amazon Music, and Podomatic. All right, and we are done.